Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you ever riff with people want to buzz, break out before you get bum rushed at the Wild Wild
West. Drew's on a Will Smith kick today.
Back to back.
Are you a big fan now of Royals closer, a Royals reliever, Will Smith? This is twice in the first hour of the show. We've got some Will Smith. I mean, I don't mind it. I just didn't know.
I'm just in a groove, I guess.
Okay.
With Will Smith.
I had this CD back in the day, the Going to Miami and all that. Oh, yeah. I had the blue cover art, I think, on the CD. One of the very few CDs I actually.
Is this the Willinium album? The Big Willie style? Which one
this
was
this? I thought this was Going to Miami. I don't know the name of the actual album, I guess, but. Anyway, I believe I had the album that this song was in. Anyway, Will Smith, thank you for that. Let's get right back into some NFL, though. The draft a week from tonight. Again, we'll be at the Landing in Liberty for our draft party. And let's talk a bit more about this draft from a national perspective with our guy from Sports Illustrated, NFL staff writer, also has the Matt Verderam Show, a new podcast as well, and he's always kind enough to give us some time. Matt, you're based in Chicago, though, right? So I would imagine at this point, everybody's just counting down the days. You already have the Caleb Williams jerseys and everything out there.
Yeah, I think it's honestly more exciting to talk about Big Willie style.
guys, for sure. Caleb Williams is going to the Chicago Bears. I don't think there's any. I mean, really, honestly, on Chicago talk radio, most of the talk is about what they're going to do with their second first round pick. You know, are they going to trade back? Are they going to take a receiver, even though they already added Keenan Allen? Are they going to take an edge rusher? I think that really is more of the conversation in Chicago. The idea of Williams going number one, I think, is pretty set in stone.
Would they trade out of nine? Like, not just because of the hypothetical trade that's kicking around for the Chiefs that they would trade up to nine and take Bowers, but would they trade out of nine knowing the already draft value they've got with a limited number of picks where they could go down and maybe load up a little bit more?
Yeah, I actually think it's very likely they trade out of nine because they only have four draft picks. Like, they don't have I think it's two firsts, a fourth, and then maybe a fifth or something like that. They don't have a second-round pick, and I don't believe they have a third-round pick. They are very deficient in draft capital this year in terms of the amount of picks. And if you're the Bears, like, you're not in a spot yet where you're sitting there going, yeah, we're good. If we draft four guys, like, that's great. Yeah, obviously, if you take Caleb Williams, your draft is a success. If he turns out to be what you think he's going to
yep.
be. But, yeah, I could see them trading out. And I've seen that trade floating around with the Chiefs. Look, that is a lot to give. I mean, you're usually only giving that up if we're talking about a quarterback.
But
right?
Because
I mean, you don't,
isn't the argument, though, Matt, because they have the quarterback that it's worth it if it's like Roma Dunze? Like, if it's just the guy who's going to be your wide receiver for 10 years, isn't that the same thing for them if they don't need a quarterback?
Okay, that's an interesting point. I don't disagree with it. Like, if you're the Chiefs, you are the type of team that could just say, hey, look, we're so loaded because of previous drafts that we can make that move. I mean, I will say, though, if you're going to go up, and let's say it's Roman Dunsay, if you're going to do that, that guy better be an all-pro because that trade's not worth it if he's just good. Like, yeah. That trade's not worth it if he turns out to be, like, a two-time Pro Bowler. He's got to be Jamar Chase. Like, and if he's that, then you don't care. Hey, here's two first-round picks. Go with God. Thank you. Come again. But I think it's more likely the Chiefs – first of all, for the record, I think Chiefs are going to trade up. But I don't think it'll be that high. Like, I could see them maybe getting into, like, the late teens or the early 20s. Like, if Brian Thomas is there at 22, I think at that point, if you're the Chiefs, you're like, all right, maybe you do this. Because – to the idea of trading up, from 22 to 27, six NFC teams pick in a row. If you're the Chiefs, that's the sweet spot because all those teams are going to be way more willing to deal with you than Miami and Cincinnati and Buffalo. So I think the Chiefs have an opportunity to get up the board.
You mentioned Brian Thomas as maybe a name. Let's say he slides that would be intriguing that you'd actually be willing to trade up for. Who are the names that you actually think the Chiefs could be interested that so much to where they're willing to move up 5 to 10 spots even? You know, if it's A.D. Mitchell, is he part of that name that you would throw out there, or is there only maybe one or two names you think they'd actually be willing to move up for?
Well, so I think at receiver specifically, if they move up drastically, like we were talking about earlier, that would probably be from Malik Nabers or Roman Dunsay. I don't think Harrison's getting past 5.
Right.
Brian Thomas is kind of that one guy in the middle. Maybe Xavier Worthy, you want to throw him in there. That goes somewhere around the late teens. Maybe it's early 20s. Like, those would be the couple guys I'd look at if you're the Chiefs and go, maybe you move up there. Maybe those are the guys that you're intrigued enough by. Because I think with A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, those guys are probably there either, not maybe at 32, although I think McConkey would be there at 32, but maybe like you only have to move up a couple of spots. And it's really just like, okay, you're moving up and you're giving up a later round pick. The one thing to keep in mind, this is really the question Brett Veach has answered for himself. There are so many receivers in the top two rounds of this draft. At what point does the value become swayed into, hey, keep your pick and stay where you are and don't give up other picks? Because the difference between the 5th receiver in this class and the 10th receiver in this class is negligible. Like, that's really the very interesting question that Veach and others are going to have to answer coming into this draft.
We know Brett Veach will speak to the media tomorrow. Do you think, like, if you're an organization or if you're Brett Veach, or even if from an outsider's perspective, how do you handle the draft knowing that Brett Veach's current hit rate? Do you still try to treat this as an individual, or should you always be thinking trade down, Matt, just because of his recent hot streak? I think you and I both know that the draft is a little more flexible than that, that he can't continue, I don't think, this level of hit rate that he has in the current draft. But based on that, do you just trade down to accumulate picks and just let him take more shots?
You could. And that's, and again, that's one of those lines of thought, right? I mean, and that's what makes the draft so fascinating is everybody thinks differently. I've talked to a handful of people in the league who will tell you that this top 125 in this class, so basically like the first 3.5 rounds, is as deep as any class in recent memory. But then a lot of those same people also tell you after about 125, this thing falls off a cliff because you have all these kids that have had so many years of eligibility because of the COVID stuff that a lot of these kids in the latter part of the 4th and then onward, like I've had some people in the league say, look, you're going to have guys who are 5th round picks who in a lot of drafts would have been like UDFAs. But because of the way this thing is structured, that it's almost like a free fall after 125, I think you're going to see a lot of teams try to move up. I think you're going to see teams who are packaging later round picks, trying to get into that top 100, into that top 125. And if I'm deep personally, kind of what you said earlier, Cody, I'd be aggressive. Like, I don't know that I'd be number 9 aggressive, but I'd go for it. I mean, you're trying to win a 3-peat here, or you're trying to get a 3-peat, you're trying to win a third straight title. I just think the Chiefs, how many holes do you really have? Like, how many guys are going to start on this team out of this draft class? So if you can go and get a big-time guy or two, like, to me, that's what I would do.
We're talking to Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated, also the Matt Verderam Show. You can check out that podcast. And the left tackle spot has been interesting for me. And the last couple of years, honestly, I thought the Chiefs should be looking for more of a long-term answer at left tackle. We know in-house they've got Wanye Morris. We're going to probably find a lot out next week how confident they are in his ability, or will they run back the veteran option? Do you think left tackle is seriously in play at 32?
You know, so on my podcast, the Matt Verderam Show, which is really just about the Chiefs, I sat there and I did 2 3-round mocks the other day with one of those simulators, just to kind of get a feel for, like, okay, you know, look, it's an exercise, but where maybe are some of these guys going to be available? And then both of them, I ended up taking tackles in the first round. And part of that, to be frank, is I do think that that is the most likely pick in the first round, if they stay where they are. If they move up, I think then it maybe lends itself to, hey, a wide receiver slid, maybe it's Thomas. But if you're Kansas City, you just won 2 Super Bowls with who at receiver? Last year it was Rashee Rice and a bunch of guys who are hood ornaments. And the year prior, it was Juju, somewhat MVS, and more hood ornaments. Like, I think you can sit there and say, hey, we can still get a really good receiver in the second round. I don't know, even though tackle class is also very deep, I feel like most of those guys are going to be gone in the top 40. So, like, if you're sitting there and Fashanu somehow falls to you, or Flaga falls to you, or Mims out of Georgia, who is a fascinating prospect. For those unaware, he's played 8 games in college, but is so dominant that people still think he's a top 20 pick. Like, I just think if you're the Chiefs, if one of those guys in that group, if they get to you, I just think you make the move.
Isn't the question they have to ask themselves about the wide receiver thing, whether or not they're going to take one for tackle, how close they think this year's defense is to last year's? Like, to me, the reason they won the Super Bowl last year is not because they just rolled out scrubs at wide receiver. Mahomes played his best at the most important moment, but they have the best defense in the league, man. I mean, that's how you're able to overcome the wide receiver stuff.
Well, you're right. But I think that kind of goes to what I was saying. Like, they are winning the Super Bowl. But I would also say, like, last year, you're 1,000% right. They won the Super Bowl because Mahomes was great in the playoffs. They got some guys to step up, and the defense was absolutely lights out. The year prior to that, he threw for 5,200 yards.
Yeah.
And Juju Smith-Schuster was their number one receiver. Like, now I get it. Kelsey was healthier in 2022 and a year younger, all that. I will say this. I think if you're the Chiefs, one of your first two picks has to be a receiver. It has to be.
Right.
Because you also have to factor in, yeah, you got Hollywood Brown, but you got him for 1 year. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the only guy in the receiver room who's definitely there after this upcoming season, you would think, is Rashee Rice. That's it. Like, everybody else, you don't know if they're going to be there after this upcoming season. So there is a long-term need, but I do think a tackle, like, if you can keep Mahomes upright, you're winning. Like, you're going to win. If he's upright and your defense can do anything, and I think even with the loss of Snead, I think, at least in my eyes, they're still, what, a top 5 defense? So, like, I look at them and go, if Mahomes is standing upright for 3 seconds, he's going to find somebody. And now you've got Rice whenever he comes back, and you've got Hollywood Brown, and you've got adding the receiver in the draft, plus Kelsey. You should be pretty loaded.
Before we let you go, Matt, one thing we got into the other day was Nick Bolton's future in Kansas City, long-term extension possibility, along with Creed Humphrey and maybe Trey Smith. What are you kind of hearing on that? Cody and I differed a little bit. I think it's more likely and most likely Nick Bolton gets an extension than Creed Humphrey. Cody thinks maybe Creed Humphrey is the first one out of the gate there. What are you hearing about future extensions for any of those three?
I talked to somebody around the situation a couple of weeks ago and was told, look, all three of them are legitimate, like, hey, want to get it done. Now, that being said, we all know wanting to get it done and actually getting it done are two different things. I would say that I think the hardest one to get done is Trey Smith because of the way the guard market exploded this offseason. You're talking about maybe having to pay him anywhere between 18 and 20 a year. And I think Trey Smith is excellent. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to commit to a guard, especially when you've just come off paying Tooney a ton of money. Although maybe because Tooney could walk after this season. I know he has 2 years left, but they could move on. Maybe that changes things. Humphrey to me is the easiest one. because of all three of them, he's going to be the cheapest. And you could argue he's the best. He's probably the best and the cheapest just based on center market, which is really not moved all that much. He's probably looking at like 13 and a half, something like that a year. And that sets the market. And Bolton's fascinating because off-ball linebackers are all over the place. You know, you have the top guys getting like 20. You have other guys who are really good who get like 12, 13. I think he'd be somewhere like splitting the difference. And you're going to find people who think that's fine. That's a good deal. It's 16, 17 million a year. You're going to find some people who go, why would you pay him that? You have Drew Tranquil. But I think he's going to get paid. I do. I think the Chiefs love him. They value his football IQ immensely.
Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated, also the Matt Verderam podcast. We always like to get your perspective, man. Enjoy the next week or so leading up to the draft.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
There you go. Good stuff from Matt Verderam. You and I, we talked earlier, what was it, on Tuesday's show maybe?
Yeah.
About Nick Bolton or whatever. It sounds like he's on the same page with the Trey Smith situation, though, as you and I, where it's like...
The guard market's so expensive unless you are moving on from Tooney. It's tough.
Yeah. And that would be... I mean, health is the question on Tooney, right? He usually doesn't miss games. He was forced to miss a couple of games this year in the postseason because he just couldn't, right? He had the pack. It was not so much a pain tolerance as much as what just like physically couldn't do it. Otherwise, he would have been out there. He's been basically an Ironman in the NFL. Are you worried that there's other injuries, I guess, could play a role? Well, remember, Trey Smith is under contract for next season. So if you ever got to a point where you don't do anything with Trey Smith before the season, you play out this year, and let's say Tooney has some injury problems, which he's never really had, then maybe it changes your thought process next year. But man, if on the open market, you know what Trey Smith can get, and that is maybe not a number you're willing to do in Kansas City, knowing who else you're trying to take care of. Thinking of wide receivers, I know we spent a great deal of time talking to Matt about potential trade-ups for wide receiver, and he mentioned a few names, and what group they have for one more year, essentially, after under contract. Kadarius Toney is under contract for this year, a little over $2 million. We all know the backstory from this past season. After the year ended, I said, hey, I'm good with Toney and Sky Moore making it to training camp, especially Sky Moore. He's on a rookie contract, so whatever. And then see what happens. See what the rest of the room looks like after, you know, when you bring in the guys you drafted. We assume they're drafting at least one, if not two wide receivers. See how other guys progress. And if you have a roster crunch at another position where you feel like, hey, maybe we're not keeping X amount of wide receivers, we want that guy, then to me, you shouldn't keep Toney over one of those guys. But I'm good with him still being on the roster heading to camp. But I want to see what if the young wide receiver they draft or two is clearly better in their mind, then it shouldn't be, you should not hesitate at all to move on at that point.
The exact headline from Pete Sweeney over at Arrowhead Pride said, Chiefs aren't giving up on Kadarius Toney in 2024. Quote Andy Reid, arguably one of the most talented guys we have on the team.
Yeah, he said
let me be honest with you. Bail. Get out. I don't even need to get to camp. Sky Moore makes some sense to me. For one, Sky Moore has at least been close to as productive as Kadarius Toney. I get Kadarius Toney had a slightly better year a couple of years ago or whatever. But at some point, the negatives on Toney way outweigh what he's doing for you. He's had one good play for you in his entire Chiefs run. It was a punt return 2 years ago in the Super Bowl. That is his only notable play in his entire Chiefs history. You've had 2 years to either get this man on the field, get him involved in the offense. And I get it. Every once in a while, he shows some flashy bit of athleticism. You're like, ooh.
Yeah.
And it's always for like look back on it. You've been blinded by it. It's always for like a gain of 9. It was never some massive play and a heroic moment. He just did something cool against a safety, gained 9 yards, and we were all bought back in. It's time to bail. I think part of it because of the team stuff. It never seemed like he fit with the rest of the team. Sky Moore feels like he's a part of the team. Toney has never felt that way. He's felt like an outlier for 2 consecutive years. I don't get into this. This is a talent thing, and I get it. Teams just hate giving up on talent. But, I mean, there's just not enough there to justify.
Look, the trade they make with the Giants, to me, because he helped them win a Super Bowl, to me, like, there's no more, you shouldn't be trying to prove to anybody that you won the trade or it was a good trade. Like, to me, you won the Super Bowl with them. I'm good to
the third round can just be washed our hands with.
But at the same time, I don't see any harm with him going to camp with them. It's $2 million, whether they cut him or he's on the roster. What I will say, if we're up at St. Joe and whoever you think they draft in the first, second, third round of wide receiver, or maybe they draft multiple wide receivers, whoever those individuals are, their development should not be hampered because of Kadarius Toney, right? Like you shouldn't change their role because of Kadarius Toney. He's only on your team one more year anyway. Everybody would admit he's not a long-term option, no matter what he does. Like he's only 25 years old, but this is the final year of his contract.
He doesn't need to be an option at all. So like that's the thing.
He can be at camp. I don't see any issue. Dude, they run out 9 or 10 wide receivers at camp anyway, so sure. I have no problem with him being at camp.
But him versus the other guys, here's the difference for me and why I would just be like, yeah, I'm good. I don't even want the temptation just like I did in the postseason. I don't want them getting through camp and Kadarius Toney does some skyline backflip over a guy to catch a ball because he is a great athlete. I've never denied that. And then they're like, ooh, but what if, you know, what if this is the year with Toney? Don't tempt yourself. I don't think they'll tempt themselves with this guy more. He's got a skill set. They'll use that skill set and they'll move on with their lives. I don't want them falling back into the what if we relied on Kadarius Toney for anything.
I would like to think they're way past the rely on him stage. I think it's more can we have a set package or whatever for him. I don't think they're relying. Look at the wide receiver room. Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown. In this circumstance, let's assume Rice isn't missing any games.
Maybe to be drafted guy and pick round one or two.
I actually don't think there will be as much of a temptation for that this year, even if he's on the roster by the time week one of the season starts. To me, it will be pretty clear he is a gadget guy. Let's not forget, though, their actions at one point showed they were trying to protect Kadarius Toney by essentially benching him, but putting him on an injured list. And he didn't like that. And then they're like, well, fine, we were trying to kind of cover for you a little bit. So they already had made a decision even last year that they were kind of done with him. That's why.
If you're just done with him in the postseason, why the hell are we even wasting our time in the offseason in camp?
Because you got to see
a healthy scratch.
Because you got to see how the draft goes first, man. Like you got.
He could stay on the roster for 7 more days, then I'm out. Okay. As soon as they take a first or second round wide receiver, fine, I'll go to that far.
That's why you go to camp, though. You got
hit an OTA.
You go to camp with them and see what happens.
All the way to training camp.
Yeah, and if we're sitting there and it's August 25th or whatever, and we're like, okay, these other guys are, you feel good enough about blank wide receiver out of Texas or something, then you feel even better about being able to move on. Maybe it's a situation where you're able to get a conditional future 7th round pick, okay, for some team that's desperate. I have no idea. Like, wait till end of August. I have no problem with that.
I'm willing to wait about the end of April. that's about all they got for me.
Trash of the day.
All right, New Heights Podcast, they had their live show in Cleveland the other day, like a week or so ago, or I guess Cincinnati to be exact. And one of the events that they did, they had Jason and Travis Kelce digging through Skyline Chili, like this huge
swimming pool,
vat of chili.
Mm-hmm.
And within that, I guess Jason Kelce lost his Super Bowl ring. This is from Entertainment Tonight.
I legitimately lost my Super Bowl ring in this event. They could not find it. This is Jets Jake and intern Brandon the next day searching through the chili to try and find the sock that had my Super Bowl ring in it. We have still yet to find it.
That's right. Thanks to a pool of chili, Jason Kelce's Super Bowl ring is officially a goner.
The Philadelphia Eagles are the Super Bowl champions.
Six years after the Philadelphia Eagles beat the New England Patriots at Super Bowl 52 and earned those rings, Jason reveals on his New Heights podcast that he lost his at their live arena show last week, held at their alma mater, the University of Cincinnati.
Technically a three-way. It's not just Skyline Chili. There's spaghetti in there, cheese, and chili.
We gotta do this again.
It was, folks, the video does not do justice.
I mean, Skyline Chili sounds disgusting anyway.
Dig through it a day after, though?
Yeah. They never found it. They think it's in a dumpster somewhere, so you already put in an insurance claim for a Super Bowl ring.
I don't even like stirring spaghetti that's like halfway through the warming process. You know, like you put it in the microwave, you stir it up a little bit, and then you put it back in. I don't even like handling it then. That is a food that should be hot. Like, not warm. Hot.
Yeah, you warm up spaghetti and meatballs, and the spaghetti's on fire, but the inside of the meatball is still cold. Yeah.
Well, no, and
so he lost his ring. He thought he'd lost it before, and now he's lost it in chili. I bet some person swiped. Someone had to swipe it.
Well, and
they found a sock with a ring.
Man. Did you guys hear that?
Hold it forever.
The ring was like, there were socks in the chili. The ring was in a sock that people had to find. Like, they were wrestling each other to find the sock.
Real ring in there.
Yeah, that's why Travis was saying in the
cut. Travis was, like, it was so disgusting in that corner. of the arena. I cannot imagine.
Yeah, someone couldn't have stolen the ring because, remember, it has his last name on it. Like, if you try to sell it somewhere, you have to just keep it. If you try to sell it, you're not going to get away with it. I guess if you just want to keep the ring and show your buddies secretly.
I mean, how many buddies could you show? I mean, really, it would just be for you to look at, like, the ring from the Lord of the Rings. Precious. And then just put it away. No one would ever get to see it.
That's right. That's the trash of the day. Up next, though, what type of wide receiver particularly should the Chiefs be going after? And I'm sure we'll get hit with another mock draft sounder very soon.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Chiefs Kingdom. This is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold. Every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Thank you, Mitch. Mitch was on, actually, with the morning show today on Fesco in the Morning. If you missed that interview, you can catch that up on the Odyssey app and 610sports.com. They talk some draft with him as, again, a week from tonight. First round up in Detroit, but up at the Landing is where you want to be in Liberty. That's where we'll be hanging out throughout the entire first round. The Character Concerns crew will be broadcasting live at the Landing, and you have a chance to win $610. It's pretty simple, right? You think you got the draft figured out. You think you know who's going where. If you go to 610sports.com, there's a draft form. You print that out. You fill out who's getting drafted where and when. You get some points for that. Whoever has the most points will have a chance to win $610 plus some Chiefs merchandise. And it'll be a good time, man. We had fun last year. We were up there for some roundtables before the draft. And now we get to do it on draft night. And it's going to be a long night, right? So, you know, the good thing about this event, and someone asked, can you bring your kids? Yeah, last year people had some kids up there. It's a kid-friendly event.
Landing is a kid-friendly location anyway because it's kind of a sports bar and grill. Mm-hmm. And certainly, I don't know if you want to stay till the end of the draft with your kid, depending on their age, but you're more than welcome to. Everyone's got different bedtimes for their kids. My kids crash. They just become progressively angrier once they're past bedtime.
Makes sense. You get tired. Well, by the way, you know, anybody that gets tired gets a little crankier, you know? Anybody gets hungry and have an day, get crankier. This is kind
of just
happens.
A.D. Mitchell with his diabetes that they were talking about yesterday.
We'll get back into that during all 32 today. The stuff that comes out around the draft and what's real and what's not.
Very little is real. Plus, last prize you'll get for getting it right. Alex Gold's hard-earned respect.
That's
and right. And honestly, the biggest prize of them all, his respect.
That's right.
As the winner of the event.
Yeah, it'll be impressive if you finish in first place for the draft. Thinking of the draft, though, next Thursday. We've talked a ton about wide receivers. Okay, that's fine. And I agree with Matt Verderam that if they're going to trade up from 32, I think it probably is more likely. If you told me that we're sitting there Thursday and all of a sudden they come on stage and say the Chiefs have, or the Bills or whoever, you know, have traded their pick or whatever, that it's for a wide receiver and not for a tackle. But what type of wide receiver do you actually think the Chiefs need? I'll tell you what I don't want. How about that? That's sometimes easier to start out with. I don't want anybody else that somebody says, like, you know what? He's kind of a gadgety guy that, you know, they can do a lot of different things with.
The second they say gadget, you're done, huh?
I don't need that anymore. Not at the wide receiver spot right now. Not with this current group. I think you got enough of speed guys, enough of that. You got Hollywood Brown's a deep threat. I would like someone that, yes, of course, can always stretch the field, but someone that is going to be able to provide maybe a little more size in physicality than what you have.
Physicality.
Uh-huh. At the wide receiver spot.
Okay. Size, physicality. That's what you're looking for out of a wide receiver. I'll be honest. One of the things I'm looking for is speed. You mentioned Hollywood Brown, but he is, again, as we've mentioned before, only on a one-year deal. Their locked-up speed on this roster at wide receiver simply doesn't exist. Tony is one of the faster guys. He's not going to be here next year. You know, Hollywood Brown probably is the fastest. He's not going to be here next, you know, like, so the speed element, as much as I know that maybe it wouldn't get used the same this year, I want that as a part of it. Now, I was thinking about this really as it relates to, because, like, I think that's option number one for me. I want someone who's fast. But when I was looking back through this, I'm like, okay, what are the other skills the guys have and how are they going to use them now? I don't think they're going to use Rashee Rice the exact same way they did last year. I think they are going to use him more in that role and even more on third downs and those things. So I don't think I need that guy. I won't go as, say, gadget, but I would like some versatility.
Okay.
Size wouldn't hurt, but it's lower on my list of versatility. I want a guy who can play inside and out. I don't need a true number two wide receiver. I might be looking for more of a guy who plays in and out of the slot with speed, because I think Rice is going outside. I think Hollywood will go in and out. I want another guy who can either line up at the two and do a little more traditional wide receiver stuff or sneak inside. I want a versatile player just based on the current makeup and setup of their wide receiver stuff. I don't want I'm not looking for he'll be killer at jet sweeps.
Right.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I don't need
not
the
looking
gadget
for
guy.
That.
No, you want to draft that guy in the sixth round, go for it. Not with the first couple picks. If you're drafting a wide receiver, I don't want that. I just feel like, and you're right, that it's not that they have multiple years of contracts for those guys.
No, but they've got some of those.
I don't need. We've just seen that enough.
They can, like, just go pick up Mecole Hardman
exactly.
again.
If that's
or,
what they need, yeah.
Or if they're keeping Tony on this roster or Scott. I don't care who they, like, I'll be honest. They seem to find a guy every year who can, like, sometimes with varied degree of success. But if it's not working, guess what they'll do? Just call it less. And will I be heartbroken that they've called a few less jet sweeps or bubble screens this year? Nah, I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I'll be okay. I don't need more. If it's working with the guys they have on the roster, neat. If it's not, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm just looking for versatility of that. I'm not looking for the third down possession guy. I'm looking more for home runs. That's why I want the speed part. The possession guy is Kelce and Rice. Yeah. They're on this roster and they can do it. I'm looking for a guy who can get me a swing.
Well, that, I mean, I think that Hollywood Brown might be that, but you're right. It's only on a one-year deal. Hollywood Brown,
yeah,
to me probably is that, but... Hearing
but again,
Mahomes,
one-year deal, so.
Mahomes mentioning, though, what surprised him is his route running maybe is better than he thought. You know, that was what was really exciting to hear earlier in the week.
I think based on also, you know, what Matt has said and what we kind of know, if the Chiefs trade up for wide receiver, he is your future second wide receiver next to Rashee. Like, that is what it is. So I think to Cody's point of home runs, I think speed, but obviously ball tracking ability. Can you properly track?
They were not good at tracking
deep
balls.
Yeah, high point the football.
Yes. Can you high point it? Can
you just
again,
physically see the ball in the air and then run underneath it like
can
a center
you jump
fielder
to go get the football and not let it come
no.
to you? I mean,
totally,
all of those things mixing together.
I think that's totally fair. I mean, how many times have we talked about not just drops, but go and get the damn football? And that's one of the underrated things they lost when with Tyreek Hill. Like, everybody talks about other his speed, right? But he was so good for a guy his size, too, at going and tracking and high-pointing and finding the football. And that is one thing that actually, to me, is what they've missed most from a positional standpoint. Like, who can actually go and do that in the wide receiver room? Heck, that's what even got people excited about Justin Ross, okay? Like,
I think
it's overrated. I hate the fade pass, so I'm not looking for 17 fades next year, but I don't... Size is not a bad thing either. Sometimes the Chiefs treat it like it's a bad thing. If you're over 6 foot tall, they're like, ooh, I don't know. That's real tall, and we might have to throw a jump ball. But also, it's important to note, when we talk about players like that, have you ever seen Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid utilize a player in just like, I'm going to back shoulder throw it? No. And you know why? Because they're always open instead. Why the hell would I throw a jump ball to a back shoulder guy when they have the best average yards of separation than anyone in the league? They don't have to throw that ball. So I don't need a guy who can just, like, beat you up and win the ball. It's nice when they can, but, like, I don't need it all the time, if that makes sense. Very rarely.
Not all the time, but, I mean, it would yeah, we're not. It's not the the boring fade. You know, hey, it's like you were saying. It's not first and go at the five and throw the fade. But still, somebody, because that wasn't Tyreek Hill either.
No,
it's just somebody that can track the football and go and get it. And I think, you know, it's a very deep wide receiver class. It's an option that they have, and we'll see. Someone pointed out, hey, if you're not gonna get maybe a more physical receiver, maybe Xavier Worthy would be the exception to that. That was a name that Matt threw out that he thinks maybe you would have to go trade up to be able to get, though.
It certainly seems like it.
The way things are trending.
And when Brian Thomas, I know, you know, Bink mentioned him, he's high on him. He seems to be the guy. Brian Thomas ranges from 15 to 24. That's the gap that he tends to be at least.
Only got a couple more of these sounders. And no, that's not severe weather. That's a mock draft sounder.
Although if hail did come through, Century Roofing's got you covered. They're actually really nice. They're really nice people. I was texting with them last night. Dead serious.
Oh, I'm sure.
They're very busy.
I'm not disputing.
They're good.
They're very busy during severe weather, so it turns out, you know?
That is very good.
I did not respect the sounder there, Drew, and I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you are totally fine, because I think a lot of Chiefs fans will be all right with it because they take A.D. Mitchell. Dane Brugler, 7-round mock draft we're going to go through, guys. All 7 rounds, 32. They don't have to trade up to get A.D. Mitchell, a guy that is very highly coveted, I think, by a lot of teams, especially in that first round. So they get him at 32. Then they jump to corner at 64, Max Melton from Rutgers.
Rutgers? We're taking Rutgers players now?
Isaiah Pacheco, show some respect. Show some respect.
We need two. Are there two players who played at Rutgers that are good NFL players? What are the odds?
Show some respect. Pacheco went to Rutgers.
They're on the same squad together, maybe. Okay.
In the third round, they go offensive line, not tackle, though they go guard, Christian Mahogany.
Love the name.
Out of Boston.
Name for a guard. Are you kidding me?
Are you going to throw any shade at Boston College? Because that's where he's coming from.
Well, they also stink, but his name's too cool. That's a great for a guard.
Mahogany.
Guard. Man. At guard. Mahogany. Solid. You know, like, it's just
of course.
Easy.
Yeah.
It's too easy. Okay. So, love that pick.
So Dane Brugler goes from Mahogany to Bucky Irving from Oregon, the running back.
Running back, huh?
I don't hate that idea. Look, I think this is the last full year of, all right, you're getting the best of Pacheco just because of the shelf life of running backs. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you have a change of pace guy, because he's supposed to be Bucky Irving, a little more of a speedy guy.
Pass catcher, speedy guy.
Hey, no McKinnon in the picture anymore. Yeah. You brought back Clyde. J.K. Dobbins, unfortunately, signed with the Chargers yesterday.
I know,
so,
you were bummed.
Yeah, I am. So, okay, I don't mind that.
Fifth round, they go edge rusher from Washington State, Brennan Jackson. Just more depth on the D-line. And then they continue with D-line. And later on in the fifth round, Jordan Jefferson from LSU, defensive tackle in particular. And then they wrap things up. South Dakota State offensive tackle, Garrett Greenfield.
So they
in
wait
the
to take a tackle
round.
Until the seventh round. That means they're definitely going Wanya. This has been a more common trend in these mocks. They're just not taking a tackle till late.
Belief in Wanya / hey, they just think they can go find the veteran option like Donovan Smith again and have that kind of competition at left tackle. That is definitely a possibility. You notice though, they got Jay Jefferson though. So for all those people saying they want Jay Jefferson, that is in the mock.
Jordan Jefferson.
There are a lot of Jay Jeffersons actually that have come out of LSU in particular.
The hell? They just got like locked in on Jeffersons
Justin
for some
Jefferson,
reason?
There was another Jordan Jefferson.
Yeah, not even just a Jay Jefferson, but a Jay Jefferson from LSU. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's been three of them that have come out, at least in recent memory.
That's weird.
For reference to the Raiders and the Chargers, Raiders get Penix late in the first round. They trade back up into the first round.
It's a good pick, actually.
To get him. The Chargers ended up going offensive tackle in the first round. The Denver Broncos, for those curious, they take Spencer Rattler in the third round.
Whoa.
At quarterback.
Okay. So wait. So the Chargers get Joe Alt, I assume is who you're talking about, by taking a tackle early in the first round. No.
No. The Chargers get J.C. Latham at 11. So they trade back.
Trade out of the top five spot or whatever. Okay. And then the last pick for the Broncos there. So who do they have in the first round? If you're
in the first round, Dane Brugler's got them taking Telis Fuaga, the offensive tackle from Oregon State.
And so then they're going to roll out Spencer Rattler
from the consensus. I think Spencer Rattler, actually, there's a lot of people after watching his pro day and just having met with him that think he's going to go in the second or third round. Think he actually could be a decent serviceable starter in the league. Of course, third round value for a guy that could start is not bad. Of course, you'd rather have...
You don't normally walk into a season with a third round. Like, every once in a while that happens, it's just like they beat out Matt Flynn and they're like, whoa.
The Bengals drafted Andy Dalton in the second or third round, and he was starting right away. So it happens, but you know you'd rather have Drake May or Jaden Daniels, obviously, if you're.
Let me be honest.
The Broncos.
There's always. I don't hate this Dane Brugler draft. Like I like the mix. I'm okay with corner in the second. I like that they got a guard replacement. Running back in the fourth doesn't seem crazy.
Depth on the defensive line.
I'd have probably taken the defensive lineman or offensive tackle a little earlier, but like you said, if the depth's not there, gold, I don't mind this.
Yeah, the only thing would be not taking a tackle, offensive tackle high, but that is the question we don't know. Do the Chiefs internally, do they actually feel really good about Wanya Morris? I know what they've said publicly, but do they, deep down, do they actually believe Wanya Morris can be the starting left tackle of a team going for a three-peat next year? Or do they think... we think he can compete, but we'll bring back Donovan Smith or somebody like that, and we're good.
This is so hard because you have to do a read between the lines. We just mentioned that Andy Reid had said he might be one of the most talented players we have about Kadarius Toney. That doesn't mean they wouldn't cut him 2 weeks from now. So does Andy really mean that more than because, like, the way he talked about Wanya a couple of days ago when he met with the media was not a slam dunk, no doubt, Wanya's our guy sentence. It was a... Wanya's a really good player, and I thought it was nice that he had those 4 games in order to get a handle on things and to see what it's like at this level. But as you've pointed out, like, playing time will always tell us more. And I get it. Eventually, you can't increase someone's playing time. Like, look at Willie Gay year one. His amount of playing time told us that they didn't think he was ready. By year two, he was playing more. By year three, even more. But in Wanya's case, they had a chance to just stick with Wanya and ride that thing out. They went back to Donovan Smith.
It's clearly the right move.
Well, yeah, they won the Super Bowl. I'm not going to complain about it. But I think when you go back to the performing only okay veteran left tackle, that's not exactly a ringing thing of confidence. I feel like if they don't draft one in the first 3 rounds, they're going back to the veteran market.
Well, the same thing. They'll maybe have Wanya compete, but they'll go with the veteran. The exact quote from Andy was, I thought it was a good introduction for him, referencing Wanya, coming in and having that experience starting in 4 games. He has an even better feel now for this offseason and what it's going to be expected of him when he gets back and is put in that spot. So, you know, there's got to be an improvement. There's got to be an urgency there, which I know he feels. That doesn't sound like we're just rolling him out as a starting left tackle. At best case scenario, he gets a chance to compete if they don't draft one. Like, I didn't, that quote did not sound like an organization that's like, oh, we feel
he's our guy.
We feel great about him starting a left tackle.
Oh, and from looking at the rest of the first round picks, all of the tackles go ahead of the Chiefs. So if the Chiefs sit to that point, if they sit at 32, they didn't have anybody other than Patrick Paul would probably been the next guy who went at 36. He's the tackle from Houston, but he's more of a second round guy. It seems like a third round guy that if they sit at 32 and they've all gone off the board, wide receiver's your best option. And maybe from there, you just see how the cards lay in the second round. And then if there's nobody there, then you just don't worry about it.
I just can't get over the mock that, like, if the Broncos go into next season and Spencer Rattler is their starting quarterback competing with Jared Stidham.
And I'm going to win 5 games in the division.
Okay. Already. Alrighty.
You just wonder what their plan is. At
they probably want to get up higher in the draft, but they can't.
Well, right.
They probably want Jaden Daniels or want Drake. Maybe they can't go that high yet. Anyway, because the reports are Minnesota is trying to get to 3, 4, and the Giants GM said he was shocked at how many people called him at 6. He's like, there are a lot of teams.
There's going to be a big surprise every year. It's fun, right? The draft night. There's going to be a big trade, a trade up. It's like, wow, I can't believe
it's dealt 2 hours before the draft starts.
Ook's definitely a name to watch. And like, we're going to be sitting there and it's pick 12 and some guy goes off the board that every expert had going 34th. And we're like, oh, you idiots. You know, that's what happens every draft.
Well, and it tends to also be the Raiders who makes,
I mean, last year, look at the Lions. They drafted, and it worked out pretty well for them, in fairness. I still wouldn't have drafted
Jahmyr Gibbs.
And Jahmyr Gibbs looks great. I still just wouldn't have drafted him where they did. But that was a pick people were critical of.
When you get Laporta right in the second, then you really don't care.
Right, and they drafted a linebacker very high in the first round. And people are like, what the hell are you doing?
And he was really good.
And they should have been in the NFC, or they should have been in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they blew a huge lead.
17-point lead, right?
Well, I think this is also kind of funny. The Chargers, they have them taking 4 guys from Michigan.
Okay, he's just playing with us in this mock then, if that's the case. What? He has Harbaugh taking 4 Michigan guys?
They fit where
come on.
Oh, yeah,
he's going to be a bad coach. Well, I'll just tell you right now, if all you do is you just take the same guys from college, then you're going to lose.
They have him taking Chris Jenkins, who is...
Yeah, I know they won the national title.
They have him taking Chris Jenkins, D-tackle in the second round. He's been there. Blake Corum in the third round. He's been there.
Okay.
And then 2 guys like 6th and 7th round.
No, so like I don't doubt that those guys will get... They were a national championship team. They obviously have good players. I'm just laughing at Brugler. Brugler picked him with all the Michigan players. I'm not saying he reached on guys, but just funny. Like, there's no way Harbaugh's going through an entire draft of only Michigan players. There's just no chance.
He has him taking J.C. Latham, again, the tackle from Alabama. Then he has him taking Keon Coleman.
I'd be immediately concerned it's going.
Like, Harbaugh's going to draft at least one Michigan player. I'll give you that. I think he drafts at least two. He will draft.
Why?
There's a good player. They won a national championship, so it's not crazy. It's just, if he has, how many picks do the Chargers have? Seven? Six?
No, they've got a lot more than that. At least in this theoretical mocked, because they trade back.
What do they have actually right now? Do you know?
Let's say they have
seven picks. Just keep it simple.
Sure.
I don't think they're drafting six of the seven out of Michigan.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Of this, it looks like they have nine picks, I think, in this mock, and four of them are Michigan players.
Okay.
And two of them are in the last two rounds.
Okay. That's like us joking about Sua Mataia for BYU. Andy.
I'm fine with that pick.
The Rams, they have he has taken Bo Nix in the second round.
Next week, we'll look at some of the prop stuff, because some of those, like how many quarterbacks could get drafted, are really interesting.
Seems like right now, Penix, the only way that Penix goes is if somebody trades up to get him, or Bo Nix, I think, is the idea. There's only going to be four quarterbacks that go.
That's where the Chiefs have an opportunity. If they're not thrilled with who's available and they think they can get a similar quality player seven picks later, and I know it sucks that you're going to be waiting Thursday night and they don't draft. If there's a team, even if it's the freaking Raiders, if there's a team that wants to get back at 32 because they want to get the quarterback to make sure they jump ahead, I could see that scenario playing out.
The only time in which the fifth round option is actually worth the trade up is quarterback. Other than that, it's incredibly overrated. If you look at the percentage of times people actually pick up that fifth year option without either just giving them an extension or just letting them go, either picking up the option, let them go, or not picking up the option at all, the odds are actually pretty low. Quarterback, it's worth it because you do technically get one more low-priced year based on market, which makes it worth it, but yeah, that might be just about it. Gold, I was responding to someone over on the Twitch stream. They said, hey, make sure during break to ask Alex how his fantasy baseball team is going. Is it not going great?
No, it's not.
It's
better than it was a week ago. How about that? It's weekly fantasy baseball. I'm sure our listeners are thrilled to hear me talk about it.
Let's hear this. How many teams?
14.
And you are in place?
Let me check.
Let's get an updated standing.
Second to last, currently.
Ooh, 13.
For those that don't know, our league is category-based, so you get a win for every category. So my record is 8-21-4 to start the baseball season. Now, so far this week.
So many numbers.
Well, yeah, because for example, I'm 5-5-1 this week so far. It changes quickly. No, not a good
start. You're on the upswing.
I'm going for the people are going to get burnt out strategy. You know, I'm going to stay dedicated, and there's going to be some people that give up here very soon, and I'm going to move up. I'm at the point where already I just got to get into the top 10. I got to get out of this bottom four spot here. There's someone else that is 5-24-4, and their team is way worse. My team actually, it's the guys are underperforming. Okay, Francisco Lindor was one of my
Chris
top
Taylor
picks.
Or something.
No, Francisco Lindor got off to a terrible start. Julio Rodriguez, not a great start. Those guys will bounce back. We're fine. I feel good about my pitching staff. We'll be all right.
What's the team name?
Ohtani's Bookie.
Okay.
Come on now, lay up. It's too easy. Too easy. Ohtani's Bookie.
By the way, if they would have, I mean, that guy was losing $40 million. That would have been his bookie, too. I don't know. He's losing at that rate.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, man. Whatever you need. You place that first bet, lose $1 million, and then I'll just pretty much foot it from there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just asking.
That person that texted in clearly must be.
Assuming they're doing better than you.
I would like to know their team name first. I would like to know who that is.
They're KS Duckdown on Twitch. I can't tell you who they are.
There's a couple people doing very well. There's some listeners. Kramer's in this, actually. Kramer's in the league from across the hall. He's 14, 13, and 6.
I paid Kramer yesterday for his house sitting. I forgot to pay him when he was sitting there. I meant to just leave.
Isn't Kramer a Cardinals guy?
Yes.
He is a Cardinals fan.
And a Raiders fan.
Yeah.
Why does he even
people make bad decisions? It's okay.
We all make
bad decisions.
That might be more lopsided than my fandom.
Oh, it's I mean, talk about just
Cardinals and
straight up rivals of the teams here locally.
And he's from KC?
St. Joe.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if there's any.
There's not a pro team in St. Joe.
It's not like I grew
normally
up
you'd cheer for the Chiefs and the Royals.
It's not like I grew up in Indianapolis and said, you know what, I'm going to cheer for the Patriots. That didn't happen.
You didn't cheer for the Colts, man. You're right in your backyard.
I'll tell you this.
Peyton Manning was the quarterback for you growing up.
At least I picked a team that sucked, okay? That's all right.
That's the mistake you made. Kramer did what most people do. Not with the Raiders. I can't explain that one. But in the Cardinals' case, he was cheering for winners. When Kramer was growing up, the Royals weren't competing, and the Cardinals were competing every single year all the time. He's like, I live in Missouri. And that team wins. And there were a lot of Cardinals fans like just outside of Kansas City too for a while. It was kind of like the same as like there are Yankees fans and Cowboys fans.
Well, it's interesting you say that. That's going to happen with the Chiefs because of Mahomes, and it's already happening. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say going; it is happening. And internationally, we know what's happening in Germany. But if you're a young kid that likes football and you're 8, 9, 10 years old or whatever, even if you're not a Chiefs fan, unless your parents are just raising you die hard to be a fan of X team, like you're probably a fan of Mahomes. Therefore, you're going to probably, this is why the Chiefs fans are going to be more and more prevalent in these other markets. It's, you know, we always said with the Winners. Steelers, you know, like, oh, Steelers fans travel. It's not that Steelers fans travel. It's that there's Steeler fans everywhere. It's not, you know, it's the Cowboy fans. It's not the Cowboy fans, oh, they just travel all over. No, there's Cowboy fans everywhere. Same thing with Packers fans. They're not all caravanning from Green Bay. No, there's Packers fans everywhere because people grew up were huge fans of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
Soon to be, like you said, Patrick Mahomes. Cross the league. They'll take them by storm. It's great news for the Chiefs. Absolutely. They'll get fans everywhere, and I don't care. I will always tell you, don't care about bandwagon fans. Welcome them in with open arms. You want them to spend money on your team and have more people to enjoy their success with.
Coming up, we'll get to what's trending. We'll also get back into the 500 road trip and what is to come this weekend for the Royals.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.